Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Search of Solutions radio show, or as I like to call it, SOS. Thank you all for listening. I am Josh Butterfield, and I'm coming at you live from Lake Ozark Real Estate State-of-the-Art Studio and Damn Radio. How are you wonderful people doing today? It is but Friday, so it is our very exciting day around here where me and Polly get to talk about all kinds of awesome stuff and the happenings of the world. And boy, I'm sure tonight's show is going to be pretty good. I think they all are pretty good. So looking forward to that here in the next hour and a half. That's going to be Ion Solutions coming up next. And then following out the rest of the week, you're going to have Polly do Eye of the Beholder. So, yeah, that is what we got going on, what we got coming up. Like I said, this is the Search of Solutions radio show where we try not to be divided and conquered and do the hard work of talking politics and religion and any other thing that's really difficult to talk about and trying to figure out a way to try and remain peaceful. That's always my driving force in this, is to figure out a way we can do this, a method to the madness, if you will, to where we can have these conversations and without it being ugly or without chaos ensuing or resentment and anger towards one another. So just trying to figure out a way to peacefully have these talks. I know peace is a hard subject for a lot of people, but with the world we live in and with the way humanity is progressing, you can look and say, you know what? If we don't strive for peace, we are going to wipe ourselves out. It's just a common sense, logical conclusion that you can look at with the weapons that we're creating. Eventually, somebody is going to be unhinged enough to use these weapons now. You can look at whatever you got on our plate right now and say, oh, okay, well, I think this is good or this is good. But you can just imagine a day in the future where something may not be good, and to where the person who's in charge of these buttons that could end humanity through warfare and things like that, to where maybe they won't do good things and they will do bad things. And so if we can recognize that and just pump the brakes a little bit on our desire to kill each other, maybe, I don't know, our desire to hate and our desire to be angry. I'm not saying we have to hold hands and sing Kumbaya and everybody get along. That's not the peace I'm talking about. When I say peace, I mean, yeah, we're still going to have disagreements. We still are probably going to have fist fights. We're probably still going to have, bad things happening in the world where people are probably going to, terrible things are going to happen. But at the end of the day, we need to take the ability to stop that happening on a massive level, the loss of life on a massive level, and try and minimize the impact as much as we can. And at the end of the day, if we can all just create peace, we'll create a lot better world for our kids. And to me, the only way I see that as possible is being a little more accepting of somebody else. You know, I know it's a crazy mindset to think you might have to be more accepting of someone, but if we want them to accept us, we have to accept them. And that in turn is going to create freedom, which I also feel is going to create peace. And so that's my show and my philosophy in a nutshell. And in order to keep things on track, I do have a 3-strike system to where if you, make cusses, personal insults, something like that along those lines, personal insults, to where it gets personal. It's not just cussing. I mean, obviously there's all kinds of cussing in this show. This is uncensored and unscripted, but as far as making personal insults to each other, we should try and always pump the brakes on that. And I have a 3-strike system to help ensure it stays peaceful and on topic to where it doesn't go off the rails. And with that, I open up the call, I don't know what to call it here, the answering service. I guess I am the answering service. So I just encourage everybody to call in 573-746-8020. If you got something you want to call in, talk about, solution, problem, something you want to debate, something you want to agree on, or if you just want some crazy music that you want to share with the world or some awesome music, I'd love to hear it. Please, by all means, call in. Once again, that's 573-746-8020. With that, I like to do a little music starting out about the first 30 minutes and then followed by a little talking And then once Polly gets here, we're going to do a lot more talking. So on Fridays here, I tend to play a little more music before he comes in. But we'll see. We'll see what we got going on. So with this, I think I found this random thing here that YouTube's throwing me. And so this Leo Moriarty, he did a cover of Gorillaz, a metal cover of Gorillaz' Feel Good Inc. And now I guess it's suggested me more of his music. And this one I see here is In Hell I'll Be in Good Company, which is the Dead South. And so this is going to be the metal version, the metal cover. And it says Frog Leak Studios. So I don't, the way this is though, I don't, this is not like AI or anything like this. This is straight up a dude. This is a dude by Leo Moriarty. And I think he calls his thing Frog Leap Studios, but he just, it's funny. He wears a bunny hat or a bunny face, whatever, a bunny head. It's kind of a metal looking bunny head too. And he just rocks around playing guitar. At least that's how he did the other one. I haven't seen this one yet, but it seems to be that he's doing the same thing. Irregardless, here we go. We are going to start it off with a metal cover of In Hell I'll Be in Good Company by Leo Moriarty.
Frog Leap Studios.
And Frog Leap Studios. There you go. You heard it.
We'll be right back.
Shut it down. All right, that was Frog Leap Studio and Leo Mariachelli, their cover of the Dead South song In Hell I'll Be In Good Company. I dug it. It's pretty cool. I like it. Let's see. Let's do... I noticed yesterday there was a new song by Rob Zombie. He calls it Tarantula, or at least it's coming out as an official music video right now, released 2 days ago. Have no idea what we're getting into. Let's see it.
If we want to live, we must die.
Tarantula, the new music coming out of Rob Zombie. There you go, guys. Let's kick it on over to a little bit of the Dead South with the Dead South.
We finally arrived. Gates closed, we'll not go burn our houses and took our lives. man south who came across the sea. Take back our lives and leave this land of misery. Our will is our weapon, our hearts forever bound. One nil to Sparta, back, let's go grab another crown. The wind's at our back, the ground is shaking at our feet.
Hey, hey.
Marching for the gates, we pray our Lord that's what you keep.
Hey, hey.
If we ever get ourselves out from this mess of life,
hey.
Sing the song for years to say I'm happy we survive.
We are the dead south who came across the sea. Take back our lives and leave this land of misery. Our will is our weapon, our hearts forever bound. One nail ditch bottle back and let's go grab another round. Ditch bottle back and let's go grab another round. And we are the dead south who came across the sea. Take back our lives and leave this land of misery. Our will is our weapon, our hearts forever bound. Run out, kill your bottle back, and let's go grab another. We are the dead, something came across the sea. Take back our lives and leave this land of misery. Our will is our weapon, our hearts forever bound. Run out, kill your bottle back, and let's go grab another round. Kill your bottle back, and let's go grab another round. Kill your bottle back, and let's go grab another round.
Woo! The Dead South with their self-titled song, The Dead South. Let's do Run DMC and Aerosmith. Walk This Way. They're on each side of a wall in like an apartment or something. So the blast of music better work for those who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Run DMC and Aerosmith. Yeah, who knows? I might go ahead and play a little bit of that here in a second. Let's do some Wise Man by Slightly Stupid.
Said the man who feel him a fool, for he be the wise man. For the man who don't think he's a fool, he can't tell his destiny, but he's too good for himself. For himself, for himself. Oh, I need is something to keep me moving on in a world of all and gray. And everybody seems so strange to me. Said the man who feel him a fool, for he be the wild man. For the man who don't feel him a fool, he can't tell his destiny. Yeah, too cool for himself. For himself, yeah. For himself, yeah. Oh, too cool. Weapons of destruction, that's why these people suffer. No, the confusion, you ain't winning if you lose them. You don't need, said the man who feel him a fool, or he be the wild man. For the man who don't think he's the fool, he can't tell his destiny, but he's too cool for himself. Boom, say yeah, boom, say yeah, oh,
Slightly Stupid, Wise Man, coming at you live from Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Art Studio. I think it suggested me some Cypress Hill. I'm going to roll with it.
Don't you know I'm loco?
To this audio, I don't like it. I don't like it. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened there. The audio was messed up. Let's do a different Cypress Hill song, then. Since that one was messed up, I could hear it. It was the official music video. I don't know why it decided to do that. So. When the shit goes down.
Smoke your ass. killer man. Yeah, I still stand tall with the hip clan. Y'all better step back.
Niggas about to fall.
I'm coming out blasting like a 77. Get the cheeks and the bread for the ham. When the shit goes down, you better be ready.
When the shit goes down.
When the shit goes down, you better be ready.
When the shit goes down.
When the shit goes down, you better be ready.
When the shit goes down.
When the shit goes down, you better be ready.
Cypress Hill, when the shit goes down, you better be ready. Man, what do I do? What do I do? Okay, Primus. Jerry was a waste car driver. I don't know. I'm just kind of doing my own thing. I'm picking a lot of music.
Nachos.
But it's all right. I'll make it a little more of a wide variety. This is some old school. Anybody ever play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater? Pro Skater? Come on now. Oh, dude. Come on. How many times have you ate shit on a skateboard on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater? I just want to know who out there has ate it at least 1,000 times. Jerry was a race car driver, by Primus. And sorry about the drop ball there. Messing with stuff here in the studio. So, yeah, I have seen Primus, Rob Zombie, and Tool on Halloween in Arizona once. And talk about a wild concert. Man, it was cool. Let's kick it on over to the request line. A little Scrapper Blackwell, Nobody Knows When You're Down and Out. Looks like 1958. I can talk about some stuff. There's lots of things to talk about, right? Where do I go? Where do I go? Well, there's, I don't know. I should probably give some more time to reflect on this one, but it's still kind of a knee-jerk response. It's a terribly heartbreaking story, and it's really sad, and I don't know, man. It's hard to share, but I don't know. I guess I'll go ahead and tell the story. It's like extended in-laws. Extended. I mean, it's hard to explain. Anyways. I don't know. I'm not trying to. It's hard. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot of levels to it. But someone that's family with my family, I guess, should I say, to not put too much stuff out there. Someone that's family with my family, not directly affiliated to me, but it was very loved by people that I love. And I even, you know, cared for this girl. And unfortunately, her and her boyfriend were in some kind of dispute. And I don't know the ins and outs of everything that happened. I just know the outcome. And this man, if you can call him that, I would never, but he, through their argument, he ended up strangling and, murdering this girl that was family to my family. And, I don't know, she was probably in her 20s, early 20s. Whole life ahead of her. Super sweet girl. She was the sweetest girl ever. She wasn't a bad person at all. She was so freaking wonderful. Always positive and bubbly and happy. And it's really, really heartbreaking that her life was taken so soon. And obviously the people I love that loved her and that were family with her were devastated and broken. And so, unfortunately, a family member was the one to show up right after it happened and find her, which makes it even harder to consider that the family had to, or that the person had to witness that. And it's as heartbreaking as it gets, you know, I mean, it's as close as you get with family. And it wasn't the person that I'm family with, but it was, you know, someone else in her family that actually found her. But when they did, the guy ran out back and ran into the woods and ran through the woods immediately after it happened and ran away. So she saw him run away, and then she saw what had happened to her family member. And so It was so hard, but the family immediately found out, in which case I found out, and I immediately took it upon myself to help. At the time, there was a manhunt, and I just said, fuck it, I am a deer hunter. I love to deer hunt. I'm at one with the woods. I do love the woods. And when it comes to deer hunting, I'm a ground hunter, and I'll take brush, and I've killed bobcat on the ground with my bow, which if anybody's a bow hunter, you know how hard it is to get, and especially a bobcat, and with a bow on the ground and not any stand or nothing. I just use ground cover. And killed a turkey with a bow. Anyways, I'm very familiar with the woods. So I was, I didn't have a plan for violence, but I wasn't going to run from it. At the same time, I wasn't you know, out for blood or anything like that. It was hard as it was not to be in that moment. But I can tell you that I strapped up and me and my dog went for a walk in the woods. Now, it was hard. And so I was trespassing, just walking. I mean, I brought up Google Maps and looked through the area, and there was a big section of woods behind the house where this all happened. And so I scoured these woods, and there were houses. There was all kinds of stuff all around. There were people all around and stuff. And so while this guy's running loose, and I mean, like I said, it was within the first hour, and those woods were huge back there. And I know there is no way they could have covered, the police could have covered those whole woods. There is no way. And so I kind of plotted everything out, and I showed up. And like I said, I walked around those woods. Obviously I was armed, but I walked around the woods looking for him and, you know, searching the best I could, you know, to where maybe police officers might have had to have permission to walk on somebody's property or something, to where I was just like, well, fuck it, we need to find this guy. And I don't even know. I mean, I'm willing to try and track him down. And so I don't know. Some people are probably sitting here frowning on it, going, oh no, that's not good. And some people are going like, well, you know, you were trying to help out and do something at least, and trying to catch somebody that needed to get caught. And the problem was, is that when I was walking through the woods, there was nobody else there. There was no police. There was no scourging through the woods of a bunch of other people. There was nobody. I mean, you would see people drive up and down the road every once in a while, a police officer, but they didn't have it like locked down. You think they would have immediately locked everything down and let all the neighbors know and stuff. I mean, nobody knew. Nobody knew what was going on. I mean, and it was crazy because there was no service announcement going out. And so that was like my first solution, is that, hey, there needs to be some kind of, I mean, we get amber warnings, right? And so if a kid is missing, we get an amber warning, and it's sent out to everybody's phone, and it's like, oh no, this is you know, what's going on. Why don't we have danger warnings, whether it be from a storm? Like, I would like to know if there was a tornado coming at me, or if there is a possible murderer in your neighborhood running around, going from house to house on the run, evading the police. If you live next to that, or you live within so many miles of that, you need to know. Like, that's something that I realized that none of these people, I as I was walking through the woods and realizing and looking at houses and stuff, I'm like, none of these people have a clue what's going on, and that this guy could be in any one of their, he could be in their shit right now. He could be in their back barn hiding, or he could be in there anywhere. He could be anywhere hiding. And so that was something that immediately clicked and was like, huh. And in that scenario, people would also be able to help protect themselves, which would be great. You know, they could be armed and ready for whatever may come. And they may also be able to help, maybe, I know you don't want visual anti-justice, which is not what I'm trying to produce at all. And that's something that obviously you want to deter from, because you don't want your whole community being like, oh, and then just taking pitchforks and going, because you got to have justice, you would think. I'll get to that in a fucking second, but you would think that you would want to have the justice system take over, and to where you can't just go take matters into your own hands and have visual anti-justice, and to where somebody at least has a fair chance. You want to have a fair chance, even though this fucking dude should have had no fair chance. He had... It is the most open and shut fucking case ever. It's Captain Obvious. I mean, he literally did it with his bare hands, and so it's obvious. Man, it's fucking heartbreaking. And so that was something that really struck with me, is that there was no means to catch him in that moment. And to me, it didn't seem like it was taken as seriously. There should have been helicopters. There should have been just all hands on deck going up and down every lake road. I should have seen cops drive by every fucking 5 minutes looking for this guy. And it took them weeks to find him, and they even supposedly even knew where he fucking was because they could watch his phone and shit, and didn't go arrest him for a long time. And apparently they were trying to put together a case or whatever. And there's so many fucking questions that I got. So many questions. It makes me wonder if this dude was connected, you know? He worked with the Regalia at the time. And I don't know. I don't know why it was not taken care of immediately. You follow me? Why they didn't seek justice and track him down immediately right when this happened, especially if they knew. There's just so many questions I have. And just seeing it firsthand, like I said, it really made me think about how we go about policing things, or how the system works about policing things in such a scenario. And if there is a scenario of something like that happening in your neighborhood, there's no protocol in place. I seen it firsthand. I walked through the woods right after it happened, and there was nobody there. I was out there all by myself. None of the neighbors were notified. Nobody was, I mean, maybe the people in the complex where it happened, but it seems like we need to do something better to help help that scenario, to where we could reach out to the community. More community involvement, instead of just depending on the police, who could possibly drop the ball or not be there to protect you. If there's something dangerous happening, the community needs to know, so that way they could protect themselves, and that way they could also keep an eye out to help get this fucker and bring him to justice. So eventually, old boy gets arrested, and he goes and goes through the court system. It's been 2 years since it happened, and over 2 years. And it's an open and shut fucking case, man. I mean, it's as obvious as it gets. I don't want to go into the hard details, because it's pretty heartbreaking, and it's pretty hard to go over, but you can imagine. It's all there. All the evidence, everything is there. And so they end up going to trial, and this guy got he got 20 or what was it, 15 years. 15 years is what he got. That was his sentence. Was 15 years for murder. And that was voluntary murder, with evidence, everything. And so the way the system works, usually you do about 20% before you're up and subject for parole. I forget what this guy's last name is, but it's Ken something or other. But it is heartbreaking to know that this happened, and to know that justice was not received. 15 years? Are you kidding me? And so he's going to be eligible for parole in 4 to 6 years. That's all he's looking at serving for murder. It's 4 to 6 fucking years. And he's been in jail for 2. And they gave him time served. So 2 years. 2 years from now, he's going to be eligible for parole and be able to walk away on the streets. Apparently the person right behind him was in there for drugs. 20 years is what they got. 20 years. And what fucking world are we living in, to where you're going to give somebody 20 years for drugs, but you're going to give somebody else 15 years for murder? It's so infuriating to think that that's the way our system works right now, that they care more about drugs than they do murder. Are you fucking kidding me? It's disgusting. It's a disgrace to the system. And apparently the judge was pretty pissed off about it too, and wished he could have gave more. Supposedly the officers messed up somewhere along the lines and didn't do something with evidence, and that is what got him off. to an extent, but he still, that's what kept him getting higher degree of whatever manslaughter or murder. He got the lowest degree because supposedly the officers messed up, but it's still murder or manslaughter. It doesn't matter what degree, you still took someone's life. You think you would be looking at like 20 years mandatory that you got to go behind jail. Like there's like you wouldn't be able to be able to be eligible for parole in 4 years. What insane fucking world are we living in to where that's the way our legal system works and our justice system works. So I'm appalled by it. I'm appalled by it. And the mere thought that you're going to take somebody off the streets, and I get it, drug dealers could hurt and kill a lot of people too. But if it's not a drug dealer, like for drug possession, just of somebody's own personal supply, I don't give a shit if it's meth or heroin or whatever, man. I don't do any of it. I don't condone it. I don't like it. I try to help people clean up from it. But the fact that you're going to put somebody in jail for their own addiction, from their own shit, for 20 years, and then let him get away with it for 15 is fucking insane. This entire system is broke. It's all about money, and there is no justice. There is no justice. The justice system is so broken and so flawed. They pull you over, and they extort you for your fucking everything. It doesn't matter. You don't have insurance or you don't have nothing. Yeah, you're getting pulled over, you're getting a ticket, and the court system's going to get some money. But when it comes to actually justice and for people who have been massively harmed or murdered, there's no justice. There's no justice. That's not justice. 4 years isn't justice. That's a disgrace. That's an appalling disgrace. And that obviously needs fixed. And so what do? You go through channels of trying to change laws at the state level or at the federal level or whatever, and we all know how that is easy that is. And at some point you have to kind of look and realize that maybe the system's just set up to be like that. Maybe they just care more about money and drugs, because that's an easy open and shut case. Did you have drugs? Well, yep, you did it. You know, you think this would also be an open and shut case too, but it wasn't. And so I guess drugs is a lot easier to streamline through the system, isn't it? A lot easier for the courts to make money off of than actually doing the due diligence of trying to receive justice for somebody that has been fucking harmed and trying to make it right for them. Because you don't see that. People get stolen from shit. Like, literally, there's no justice. People are harmed and people are stolen from, and it's so hard to keep justice and to get to receive justice. And it seems like the system's just massively broken. It seems to be more about money than it does making things right in this world. And I'm not trying to take away from the police officers or the system. And I understand. That's the epitome of what I'm saying, is I understand you guys have a really fucking hard job and that you have to see the worst of humanity. But that's your fucking job, and that's what we have to have in this world, and we can't let that shit slip so you guys can make money. That's the part that pisses me off, is that we're letting the justice and to where people are harmed, we're like letting that shit slip and be like, that's a lot of work, and that takes a lot of court resources and shit, man, that's hard. But we can just get money over here and streamline everything, and that's going to keep the streets safe. And so that's where I'm pissed off with the way the system works as a whole, fundamentally. And that's why I say constantly, no victim, no crime. You know, Tony Helm asked me the one time when I was interviewing him, I was kind of riding him, and he's like, well, why don't you just come and try and be a police officer? And I said, shit, yeah, Tony, give me a badge tomorrow. I'll tell you what, I'll show up tomorrow and I'll be a police officer, but I'm going to abide by my morals, and my morals dictate that I'm only going to go for victim crimes. And if there is no victim, there is no crime. And I'm going to turn my head the other way, and I'm going to solidly focus on those people that have been harmed. And he's like, oh, you can't do that. That'd never work. And I was like, well, I guess I'll never be a police officer then, will I? Because I'm not into that. I wouldn't waste my time pulling over somebody speeding, doing 5 miles an hour, Dave, do a fucking 30 miles an hour. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to waste my time on that when I could be going and helping somebody who has been harmed and receiving justice for, you know, if they were assaulted, sexually assaulted, murdered, if they've had shit stolen, like all these things. I would be going to these people and being like, hey, bro, like, how can I help you get justice? Like, this is a problem. And so why the fuck aren't we doing this more? Why are we not focused more on this? And this is where my problem is with the system. So once again, I'm not trying to pick on anyone in particular, and I'm not trying to say, oh, we need to burn the whole system down, it's so worthless. No, we still need the system. We still need to have justice in this world. But the problem is that it's been sold out to the highest bidder, and it's fucking turned into piracy instead of justice. It's not a justice system, it's a fucking monetary system to extort us of our money. And that's basically what's fucking happening, man. And it infuriates me that they aren't doing their fucking jobs, and that they're not fucking getting the bad guys, like, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're not supposed to just get everybody for meaningless, frivolous shit. We're supposed to not police state and just take everybody's money because they might fucking look wrong or cross the sidewalk wrong. We want to get the bad guys that are doing the bad shit, and we want to hold them responsible. And 4 years in jail for murder is not fucking getting the bad guy. That's not holding them responsible, and that's not justice, and fuck that. Which leads me to, I am trying so hard to be a peaceful person in this world. And that's one of those things that we struggle with, right? Where I'm sitting here talking about peace nonstop. And I'm like, yes, peace. We need peace in this world. We have to try and somewhat coexist. We got to realize that if we war forever, eventually, you know, eye for an eye, leave the whole world blind, stuff like that. But at the same time, there's got to be some justice. And so I can say without a doubt, me, if I saw that guy in the grocery store, at the gas station, I promise you, I don't fucking care where it's at. I would never come at him armed or anything like that, but I promise you it would be immediate. I would beat his ass with my bare fists until I could not hold my arms up anymore. That would happen. That would be one of those things that I don't care. I'm trying to be a peaceful person and I'm trying to be loving, but at the same time, that guy got no justice for what he did. And he took away an innocent life, and that's not right. That's not right. And hopefully he gets it in prisons. Hopefully somebody does it, but I doubt it. I doubt it. And it's not right. And so that's one of those hard lines, you know. I try to have peace and stuff, but I mean, I don't have any charges or anything right now, any real charges. You know, I've got plenty of insurance tickets, no license plate tickets and stuff like that. But I got a slew of those. But as far as like real charges, there's no. I got nothing like that, and so. You know, I know that a lot of times people get probation for crimes, and it's almost like a get out of jail free card to doing stuff. If you haven't done anything, if you're not on paper, then you're going to get no matter what, you basically have a shot at getting you know. Suspended imposition of sentence is what they call it, SIS. They have SES, suspended imposing sentence, which is a little different. I think that involves if you went to jail or not. But suspended imposition of sentence is basically just probation. And they say, look, you don't go, you're sentenced, technically sentenced to whatever, you're being in trouble, and then you don't do it, and instead you get probation, and you got to answer to your probation officer once a month. And guess what? You're never going to believe this, but it involves paying money. I know it's crazy. You never would have guessed. And that's usually what it always involves, especially with drugs. It comes back, and they can even drain you for more drugs because now you got to go to, drug courts and stuff like that. And, I get it. I would rather see somebody go to a drug court than prison. But at the same time, I would not. I mean, if somebody's poor and they're doing drugs and their life is destroyed, giving them more fines is only going to spiral their life even worse. And so that's not maybe the best answer if we could figure out. I mean, there's so many different ways, but that's a completely different rabbit hole and story we can go down. But as far as the flaws of the system and seeking justice, we need to change the laws for when people have been harmed, for when there is a victim and there is a crime. There's a difference between a no victim, no crime. And once again, drugs, I see if it's a personal amount of drugs, there is no victim, there is no crime. If you're a dealer, that's something different. But and when it comes to dealer, why don't we look at who our dealers really are, huh? You could say it's, oh my God, George down the street is dealing drugs. He's a terrible guy. Oh my goodness, he's a drug dealer. He's so terrible. Scum of the earth, right? But what about the building you drive by that says drugs real big on the side of it? And it's the pharmacies we drive by every day and don't even think twice. It's the same fucking drug. It's the same thing. And we don't think about those guys as terrible drug dealers, do we? We're not imprisoning them. We're not giving them the more sentences than they are the murderers, right? Right? Same thing all day. Look at our system. You have buildings where you drive by and get the same drugs for the same exact fucking drug base that where it's based from, an opiate or whatever. I mean, and it's the same thing, and then there they are selling it right on the street, right on the side of the building, advertising 100% regulated. Love it. Let's do it. Let's make money on it, right? And then you got the drug dealer right there that's getting the same exact penalty, doing the same exact thing as a murderer, and even worse. What the fucking backwards world is this? You're going to turn a blind eye and allow the doctors and the pharmacists to deal these drugs while you imprison somebody else for 20 years and then let the murderers get off with 15? And that's straight up the way the law and the way it works. Like, fuck this. Oh my goodness. But would I go beyond beating that dude's ass? No. And that's just the way I am. I would, I always tend to do, I tend to think, you know, hand-to-hand combat is the extent of where I'd like to go. I'm not trying to, harm anybody beyond that. But at the same time, I mean, it's just, it's so hard to know. And I think that would be one of those things that I would be willing to represent or willing to go to court to beat that dude's ass. And I would be willing to maybe pause my peacefulness for a minute to beat that dude's ass because he needs it. And I think that's the least that he needs. I think, personally, 50 years should have been mandatory, but especially considering to life, you know what I mean? Like 50 years should have been the very least to life, to maybe electric chair. I don't know. Definitely life. I mean, I think that he should pay a life. You know what I mean? There's a difference between accident, you know, and involuntary and voluntary, and his was 100% voluntary and premeditated. And that's the part where they dropped the ball, was that the premeditated part, so he didn't get that put on him, even though it should have. And it just makes my heart hurt. And that's the thing about anger, is that anger is a cover emotion, and it's one of those cover emotions for hurt. And so I know how much it hurt my family members, and it hurt them a lot more than me. And but them being hurt like that, it hurts me too. So that in turn, it just it's hard. And like I said, the justice system wasn't there. So I'm not sitting here condoning vigilante actions, but at the same time, I mean, if the system's not gonna stand up for us, what do we do? What do we do to seek justice for when we've been harmed? What do we do? I don't know. I don't know. But as far as vigilante, I'm talking fist fights. I don't want to go beyond fist fights. I'm not trying to lose my life or take anybody else's life. It would be cool if that guy could never go anywhere without having to face consequences from the community or other people, you know, maybe some form of street justice to where it's like, I don't know. I mean, what is that what it's going to come to, is that we have to form our own way of protecting our communities? You know what I mean? Is that what we got to do, is start a Facebook page of murderers and sexual predators? I mean, there is a website of sexual predators now, but I don't know if there is for like murderers like that and stuff too, but I don't know. It's one of those things that it's hard to find the answer. Like, I think at the very least we could create better regulations for any class of manslaughter. I think that needs to obviously happen. I think that, I guess that's the problem there. What happens when officers screw up evidence and somebody is guilty, but officers screw it up? Like, that's one of those things of how do you, just because an officer screws up doesn't mean you should get out of jail free card. But at the same time, I mean, I understand from the other side where people's rights always have to be honored. And so there's a hard line there. But like I said, for actual convictions, we need to be setting that bar a lot higher on the whole manslaughter thing, and probably lowering it for drugs, to be realistic. And I don't know. Like, what would the answer be for police officers when they do something wrong? Does it immediately, I mean, I get it how the system's set up in place. It immediately makes things inadmissible, but I don't know. I guess it's how they acquire it, or how, maybe not how they acquire it, how, I don't know. It still should be admissible, or still should be allowed in court. You shouldn't be able to just shut that evidence down in case it was taken. I mean, there's so many ways that they could mess up. I don't know. Like, I mean, was the evidence taken? There's so many questions on how the evidence was messed up and where the ball was dropped. But it's a common thing. And so what happens in this scenario? What would be a solution to when officers don't do something right, but you still want the evidence? I don't know. That's one of those hard things to figure out. I probably need more time to ponder on that and chew on that. I don't think it's one of those things that I want to be able to just wing and figure out here. But anybody else has any suggestions? 573-746-8020. This is the Search of Solutions radio show, and I'm searching for solutions on how to receive better justice for those that have been harmed in this world and how to fix the flaws in the system. Once again, we need the system. We have to have the system to receive justice for those that have been harmed. That's what it's there for. So how do we fix it? How? What do we do? Anybody have any ideas? I'd love to hear them. And from there, I don't know. I guess I'll just try and ponder on it some more. Maybe I can come up with something. But I wanted to share that little story and maybe try and just get some other people out there to try and figure things out. Maybe plant some seeds that will hopefully one day grow. Maybe somebody will hear these words and feel the pain and have the compassion and the empathy to say, damn, that sucks. And we do need a solution. And they, who knows? Any one of you out there could be hearing this and you could be like, oh, I got an idea, and that idea could change it just by me sitting here and bitching, which I don't think the bitching is the solution. I think that the answer is the solution, the ability to overcome our problems, the ability to advance ourselves. You know, we can't just be stuck in the problem and sit here and be like, oh, this sucks, I'm stuck here. No, I don't want to be stuck there. I want to go to the next level, and I want to figure out, okay, this is broken. I'm pissed off. I'm going to bitch about it. I'm mad about it. But now that all that's over, let's fucking figure out how to make sure this doesn't happen again. Let's figure out a better way to do things. Let's figure out how to advance so this isn't a thing. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do here. And I'm not getting too far as headway. So I'm always up for help and asking others out there, you know, what do you think? What's an idea? What's something that you think might work? I don't know. I don't know. It's a hard line between the Constitution, because I firmly believe in the Constitution and that we need warrants before stuff happens. And so, unless it's an extreme emergency, but then what that extent can be, abused as well. Like even with the Ring cameras and stuff, they were showing a dog on the Super Bowl that it had been, out in the neighborhood, and so they were using the dog as a scenario. So in that case, I would say that the second that happened, the second that the call was made, a judge should have had a warrant. A judge should have created a warrant to put out for anything that needed to be done. There should have been. Because I'm not totally against the use of everything, like even the license plate reader. If there was a let's say there was a lens that could go over the license plate reader, and it only is used when the judge, let's say something like this happened, and a judge says, okay, warrant, let's open the eyes on all the license plate readers and fuck it, even the Ring cameras or whatever. And at that point, you have a warrant, but you can't just openly survey everyone all the time without that shit. You know what I mean? And so there's a gray line there. There's a gray line. And so I definitely see both sides of it. But the ability to survey everybody all the time is not conducive. It's not, doesn't line up with freedom. So, all right. I think I hear Polly coming in, so we're getting ready to have ourselves a show. I am going to close out my show right now with a little bit of music. I'm going to give a little rundown of the week real quick while I can. Our schedule today, we got Iron Solutions coming up next. Me and Polly will be getting you guys going. And then after that, we got Eye of the Beholder with Polly, followed by 60 Hours of Rock, keeping you going all weekend. And then on Monday, we got International Flavor getting you going off for the week, followed by Shield Maidens of Missouri with Stacy and Lisa. Then a really big shoe with JR and Jack's Car Show closing out Monday, dropping the automotive knowledge on you guys. Tuesday, we got International Flavor and a really big shoe. Wednesday, International Flavor, The Damn Swag, The Gabby Hayes Show with Gabby, and a really big show with JR. And Thursday, International Flavor, a really big show, and Search of Solutions. And that is our week here on Damn Radio. And as always, I like to greatly thank all of you listeners. I appreciate you guys so much for following along and being a part of the show. Thank you, Lake Ozark. Ozark Real Estate of the Art Studio and Damn Radio for giving me this opportunity. I greatly appreciate it. And once again, as always, I like to make the disclaimer that I speak for me and me alone. I do not speak for the radio station. I do not speak for the DJs or anyone else, any of my friends, family, or anyone that I may know. So that is the gist of it all. So with that, guys, I'm going to flip it over here and get ready to go for our next show. Eye on Solutions with me and Polly here, guys. So I'm going to play some Pantera just because I think it needs to happen. So, you know, there's times in my life I wish for 5 minutes alone with some people. And, yeah, this is just one of those songs. So, a little bit of 5 minutes alone, and me and Paul will be coming back with Iron Solutions. Thank you all so much, and hopefully you'll be listening soon.
Love.